Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone. Your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
There's a solo, it's not important.
You know, the Magna PI house is like very close to where my like dad grew up.
No way.
Really?
The actual original for the not the new one.
No,
but the Higgins place though.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, we used to drive by it on the way to the beach.
Has the podcast started or are we doing that again?
I have no idea.
Your call, Jimmy.
All right. How is everyone doing today? You are watching / listening to the Command Zone Magnum PI podcast. That was Magnum PI, right?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Today, as you can tell, there was another lovely voice. Two lovely voices joining the song because I had no idea how it went. We are joined by Graham and Kathleen from Loading Ready Run. Welcome from Canada to America.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. How's your trip been going?
It's been great so far.
Yeah. Should we tell them why they're in town, Josh?
I mean, they maybe could guess, but...
You mean by guess, you mean guest?
They're in town for game nights.
Yay!
Very excited.
And we decided to record the podcast while they're here as well, of course. Now, there's a lot of stuff that we could talk about, but one topic that keeps coming up is something we've seen a lot in our Twitter mentioned, something that you guys were a part of really recently, and that is different variants of Commander. And I thought it would be apt, too, as you guys are also from the hometown of Canadian Highlander.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're going to be talking about something we talked about this over 2 years ago in March of 2017, Commander variants, or in this case, variants that actually require you to change your deck a little bit more than just sort of playing like Archenemy or some other format.
Yeah, I think it's different than our earlier episode. That was basically take your commander decks and sort of play them differently.
Yeah.
Most of these require different deck building, not all.
Did you talk about Commander Plane Chase in that episode?
We did.
We did a little bit, but yeah, I mean, it was years ago. Many people that are listening now haven't gone back and listened to our earlier episodes. And by the way, don't do that. That's fine. Just leave them as they are.
Yeah, they're archaic.
Some of them are not great.
Like Magnum PI.
They just redid Magnum PI. It wasn't good, though.
They redid it?
Yeah.
No, is it still being redone?
Also, don't watch that.
I think I got canceled, but...
Watch the original.
Yeah, watch the original.
Whatever it went.
Yeah, but before we go into all of that, we have to give a big shout out to our sponsor. It's also Loading Ready Red sponsor.
Oh, yes, it is.
What affiliate link are we using today?
We're using cardkingdom.com/commandzone.
Yeah, it's your show.
Yeah.
So we always talk about it. They got the best shipping, they got the best customer service. They have basically every card that you're going to need. You're going to buy Magic cards anyway if you just use that affiliate link. When you do, you really are supporting this show, game nights, extra turns, all of our content.
Yep, and our other sponsor for the show, Ultra Pro. We have a bunch of Ultra Pro playmats in front of here. They help us print our playmats as well when we do them on Kickstarter. Anytime you go to a local game store, see some Ultra Pro product around you. In fact, it's all around this room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't usually see this side on the podcast of the
room.
That's true. But you can see the Black Lotus scroll behind Jimmy and I. That is another Ultra Pro product.
So pick up some Ultra Pro product the next time you're out and about.
And the final way to support all of our content is directly. If you go to patreon.com/commandzone, you can contribute at multiple tier levels. And depending on where you are, you can... Well, everybody that's on Patreon gets to see game nights early. So they'll be seeing your episode before anybody else.
They get the Lifelinker app upgrade for free.
Yep. They get our logo background.
Yep, yep.
And they also get access to our Discord server so they can chat with Jimmy and I.
Not everyone. Some people do. So,
right. You got to be at a certain tier for
that. And we call out one lucky patron every single episode. So, all together now, this episode is dedicated
to
Gabby Thompson.
Gabby.
Thanks.
You rock.
You rock.
Okay. Oh, one last thing. All the patrons, yes, we are announcing the audition winner who is going to be a guest on Game Nights like Jacob was.
You could be sitting right here.
Or even right here.
I'm warming the seat up for you.
Either one of these chairs.
Or right here. Or even right here, too.
Yeah.
One of these four seats.
We'll be announcing that at the end of the episode, so stay tuned. But let's get right into the main topic. Commander Variants with Loading Ready Run.
That's us. Hello.
That is you guys. Now, Variants, I think, are a great way to change up the way that we look and play multiplayer games, EDH, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, the last time we were here and talked about this, we talked about Two-Headed Giant, Plane Chase, Vanguard, Archenemy, Secret Partners, Star, Kingdom. There's a lot that's happened since then. And one thing that people have talked to us a lot about on Twitter, on the YouTube comments, is Oathbreaker. Mm. So I think that's where we're going to start today, which is Oathbreaker. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of this before. And by the sheer number of people that were commenting on it, I was very surprised because I thought that, you know, I fondly remember Tiny Leaders, a format that exploded in popularity.
Very briefly.
Very quickly.
It
just
burned
as quickly.
Like a star.
Yeah.
And you guys actually have some experience with Oathbreaker because you guys did it on stream recently?
Yeah.
We, amusingly, neither of us was personally on that stream.
Right.
But yeah, Loading Ready Run did an Oathbreaker stream a couple weeks ago. And it got really good response. It was super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I guess, by way of explanation. So in Oathbreaker, it's always Planeswalkers as commanders. And they come with a signature spell. Which is kind of funny that in War of the Spark, every Planeswalker also has a named spell with them. Not
right.
that you have to do that. You don't. It doesn't have to be like flavorfully tied to the Planeswalker, though. It could be.
But go for it.
Oh, I feel like, you know, you get mad kudos for running Ashiok Skulker with Ashiok, but you get less effective deck technique. So
yeah.
You know. Choose your your victories, right?
Also, it has to be an instant or sorcery. It's actually a spell,
oh.
Not just another creature.
Well, then,
yeah.
Never
yeah, yeah.
Mind.
So let's lay that out. You have a Planeswalker as your commander, and then you can choose any instant or sorcery.
Yeah,
that matches the color identity.
Yeah, it has to.
Okay.
They have to match the color identity, and it also sits in the command zone, and you can also cast it as many times as you want with the same
commander tax rules.
The same commander tax rules, but also you can sort of like a legendary spell. You can only play the signature spell. If the Planeswalker commander is in play.
Oh, yeah. Your commander has to be out for you to cast that spell. Oh, that's interesting.
It's
kind of
like
that
the legendary sorcery rule.
Yeah.
But like what Kathleen said, there is a ton of flavor to be had. You could play Ashiok, the mill one, as mm-hmm. your commander, and then your main spell could be a card that mills
could be
people.
Demonic Tutor.
Well, yeah, it could be that too. I was gonna say a card that mills people, but it could also be Demonic Tutor.
What's the one that's just blue black? Not Wrench Mind. That's the X spell.
Glimpse of the Unthinkable
is
what I
had.
Glimpse
of the Unthinkable. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like, so you could stay on flavor. And very importantly, it is a 60 card deck, including your quote unquote Oathbreaker, which is their new name for the commander,
mm-hmm.
and your signature spell.
And still Singleton.
Yeah.
So it's like a 58 card deck.
Yeah, 58 cards. And then you always have access to two spells, but you can only cast your signature spell when your Oathbreaker or commander is on the battlefield. And every time you cast it again, it costs two more generic mana. So it's very similar to Commander, but it's much smaller, and it's actually got its own ban list that is interesting. You can't play Sol Ring. You can't play Mana Crypt. You can't play High Tide. You can't play Tooth and Nail.
High Tide makes sense because it can be in your command zone.
Exactly. Yeah. But you can play Caracas because you are no longer bouncing their commanders. You're bouncing a
planeswalker.
Right, because Caracas only hits creatures.
Yeah, Caracas only hits creatures, and your commanders are planeswalkers.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
so you can't bounce people's commanders like crazy with Caracas anymore, so that's okay. And you start at 20 life.
Ah, so the games are a lot faster then.
Yeah, I think that was like their big selling point. They have like an introduction video. It's like games will take anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes, and that's like a big like, woo, cool.
That is actually cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we did, when we did it on stream, I think we did two games. I mean, it always goes slower for us on stream anyway because we're explaining the format and we're going really slowly through all the plays and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
What are you guys playing it around the table, multiplayer and all that?
Yeah, yeah. We if you're curious what the breakdowns were, we had James playing Soren Grim Nemesis with Anguished Unmaking. So that was also a flavor match. Ben was playing Arlen Cord, and her signature spell was Moon Mist.
Nice.
What is Moon Mist? Is the transform a bunch of werewolves card?
Yeah. Cameron was playing Dovin Grand Arbiter, and his signature spell was Treasure Cruise.
I like that deck.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the most Cameron deck.
Treasure Cruise in your command zone. That's so sweet.
Oh, yeah. That's so good.
And Serge was playing Gideon, Ally of Zendikar, with his signature spell Wrath of God.
Oh.
Which he only cast a couple times. I think he maybe even just once.
But it's funny that you say that, because some people are saying they'll play just Armageddon as their signature spell.
Oh, that's
sounds hateful.
And make
though.
A token deck and then play Armageddon.
That's I heard like Mana Geyser, I think, is banned. There's a few
like
High Tide that are banned. It's interesting to think about what is broken in the command zone if it's an instant or sorcery.
Yeah.
So a couple of other like commander combos, people have played like Tezzeret, Master of the Bridge with War of Invention. So that's very flavorful. It's mm-hmm. all about artifacts. Ashiok and Glimpse of the Unthinkable, Xenagos, the Reveler, and Genesis Wave.
Oh, yeah.
It's like big mana, red, green. Rouse Zarek, and then you can just put in the infinite combo with Expansion Explosion, right? If you have, I think, I forget what it is, but it's in standard now.
Yeah. Any fork in your command zone will be, you'll just be one piece away, basically.
Yeah. Lord Windgrace in Splendid Reclamation. That's the card that brings all your lands back to the battlefield tapped. And then basically, you can play any black planeswalker, and I feel like Elder Spell is going to be really good. Demonic Tutor,
Vampiric effects. Is probably even better.
Oh, yeah, that's what I would play, I think.
Because it's one just black, costs then, one, then it's three mana, and it's instant, too. So.
And so this all sounds
what do I need?
Yeah. Ludicrously busted, obviously.
But it sounds very powerful.
Yeah, what we discovered in practice is that because you have the impression of, like, these spells are so powerful, and you get to just cast them every turn. You really don't. Because the commander tax is a big thing.
Mm.
Like having to pay two extra every time, and then only it's conditional if you have to have your planeswalker out there.
Right.
And then you can start casting it. And then there's the tax. And you don't end up casting the signature spell as often as you think.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, and like the thing is, if your signature spell is too busted, people are just going to do what they do in any other commander type multiplayer situation. Is you're going to be like, oh, sorry, no, your commander's not going to stay on, your Oathbreaker's not going to stay on the battlefield because I don't want you to wipe the board again. Or
I don't want Armageddon.
Your thing or whatever degenerate thing you decide to try and do to your play group.
I guess with 20 life, the games do go a lot faster because it's not like, because there are times when it's like, oh, they're about to go off, but they're at 35 life. At 20 life, I think it's much more reasonable. Be like, okay, they're at 15. We can probably get them down to zero.
If the whole table just concentrates on one person.
Yeah, just very quickly.
You're already close to dead, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in Commander, if I'm at below 20, I feel like if the table really wants to, it won't make it back to me.
I mean, so Commander games would go faster if the life total was 20, obviously.
Yeah.
But I feel like I feel like you wouldn't be able to get going.
No, because commander decks are like 100 cards, and sometimes it needs to put your pieces together.
I think there's an argument that you could go to 30 in commander, and it might be a little bit better. Like, it would be a nice split the difference, but...
We should try that. That's not a tease.
We didn't do that in game night. Don't say stuff like that.
I definitely sounded... as soon as it came out of my mouth, my tone of voice was like... That sounds like a hint.
An insinuation,
We should try that sometime, wink, wink. But
Graham
no.
winked at the camera.
Yeah,
like, what?
No. We just... I don't know why my tone of voice sounded like that.
A normal commander game with you guys at some point.
We could try that out. I mean, I wouldn't be super opposed to it. I think the reason that Oathbreaker is taking off is, again, they like they said 30 to 60 minute games instead of fitting... Because we've had this sometimes where... Hey, everyone, come over to our place. It's going to take you like an hour to get here. And by the time you get here, you're going to play one game. Hope it's not one that goes on forever. Hope you can play more than one. And
hope
so Oathbreaker
get eliminated in the first half.
Yeah. Oathbreaker is like one of those ways where it's maybe possible for people to... Because I could even see myself taking any of my current decks that have maybe a Planeswalker that matches color identity in it and then just stripping away 40 cards and making it function.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to do that, but I'd build a new deck.
Yeah. Well, I think that's maybe the appeal of it, because I think a lot of the new formats, having to build a deck from scratch is really intimidating. But also, I think this Oathbreaker is easier to go from this into a regular commander deck, as opposed to even something like Brawl, where it's just like, well, now there's such a deeper card pool past the set that you're in. But Oathbreaker has a similar ban list to Commander. You just can't have some of the really fast mana, because I think having a Sol Ring means you can cast your... signature spell like twice in one turn because you're already paying for that extra cost with that two there. So I'm interested. What do you guys think? Do you think the signature spell is too powerful? Having constant access to something like that?
It's really just having it in your hand for the first time. Like, you know you're going to get to cast it once for sure, and that's powerful, but it just keeps getting more expensive. I don't think it's that bad. I think it seems way more broken when you read it than it is
in
when you're
paper,
playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a great faith in the self-correcting nature of any kind of multiplayer play group of like, you know, this person's doing too much stuff, mm-hmm. right? They should do slightly less stuff and everybody else should do more stuff, right? And like, yeah, realistically, unless you're picking like a one-drop signature spell, which, you know, is not super powerful, then the chances of you recasting that like six times in a game are very slim. Because right. like you said, there's no mana acceleration and an additional two more is going to start eating up your entire turn.
Yeah. I want to look up the rest of the Oathbreaker like ban list. Do you think this would work in Commander if you had a signature spell, or would that just immediately be too broken because of all the fast mana?
Yeah. Would you have the same rule that the legendary creature has to be out to do it?
I would assume so, yeah.
I also think the fact that you only can have planeswalkers as your commander like limits it a lot because there's not like four color planeswalkers. True. There's
a lot more planeswalkers now.
Yeah, but there's very few three color ones. Like, so you're more restricted already in like the types of combinations of spells that you could have or things that you can have in your deck.
Oh, yeah.
Naturally.
The new Nicol Bolas is just great in this.
Yeah, because he gets all the...
But he gets all the loyalties.
Oh, you're
right.
All the abilities.
Yeah.
Of all he's also like very difficult to cast.
Yeah. But in constructed, you know.
I'm wondering if Nicol Bolas now just becomes the best Oathbreaker commander.
Possibly.
Do they have to ban him?
No, I don't think he probably is. Yeah.
What's his CMC though? It's like black, five.
Yeah.
Black, 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 blue, black.
Yeah, black, blue, red.
Yeah.
And then it goes up to 7 and then it goes up to 9.
I also think the Planeswalker thing, like, it wouldn't work in Commander as well because there's one-drop Commanders and two-drop Commanders, right?
Yeah.
But there's not one-drop and two-drop Planeswalkers, really. So you don't have to worry about, like, turn three, something crazy happening as much because most of the Planeswalkers are not going to come out a little bit later. So
Going to say there is a two-drop Planeswalker, but that's not even,
that's why I said for the most part.
Do you think this is tuned specifically for more casual players then, or is it going to be something that people get really competitive about over time, like most formats kind of evolve to be more and more competitive slowly?
I honestly think that you guys might be the use case scenario for Oathbreaker. Like, you play a lot of Commander, you have decks that you're not really playing anymore, so you've already got this card pool, and you sort of have an idea of how it could go if you, like, winnowed it down to 60 from 100, right? And it's just like, hey, we all played a big game of Commander, but it was over in, like, an hour and a half, and I don't really want to fire up another possibly two-hour game, right? We could play some Oathbreaker, right? Like, it seems like a complementary way of playing rather than replacement.
Actually, I like that a lot because there's so many times at the end of the night where you play like two games and you're looking at the clock and it's like, I can go for a half a game.
Yeah.
But I can't guarantee what that's going to look like. That could end up being one of these monstrosity of a two-hour-long games. And so I don't want to start it because I really only have 45 minutes. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Isn't that what Magic was supposed to be like originally? Like, isn't it to be played in between like D&D sessions as like a quick?
Oh. It was.
It's Magic the way Richard Garfield intended.
Yeah, as a filler before you go and go somewhere with your dwarf and paladin.
Yeah,
it was like, what can we do for 15 minutes while we're waiting? Oh, this game can fill that time.
Huh.
That's kind of funny.
I do see this being nice though because it does seem much more affordable as well compared to, because it's a 60 card deck. The Planeswalkers for the most part aren't prohibitively expensive. Whereas some of the commanders are, and then
you're not playing with a five color planeswalker and having to build that mana base, most of them are going to be one or two colors, honestly. Like, that's got to be 90% of the planeswalkers.
And just if the less colors your deck has, the cheaper your deck is, just because you can just start because realistically, if you're just playing a two color deck, there's only so many variants of cards that you don't need to splurge on the really pricey stuff because there's perfectly reasonable cheaper alternatives if you only need two colors, right?
Yeah, if you're playing, is it like the exact same deck but one has Scalding Tarn and one doesn't, how much better is the Scalding Tarn deck?
I don't think it's all that much better,
is
honestly.
It like, it's like 0.01% better, yeah. right? Like, yeah. it's barely better at all. It's definitely not worth $100, so mm-hmm. you can skimp on some of that stuff, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Anything glaring in the ban list?
Saheeli the Gifted.
Really?
Yeah, so Saheeli the Gifted does a 2 blue-red. It was from the last Commander set, and specifically because of her +1. The next spell you cast this turn costs 1 less to cast for each artifact you control as you cast it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And she makes servos to +1 as well, so I can just see that. I'm assuming with this signature spell.
Giving your signature spell affinity.
Yeah.
It's probably
just like it
costs scary.
Way, way, way less. Yeah. Obviously, yeah. Prime Time, Recurring Nightmare. Mm-hmm. So the big ones are like.
But those are all on the.
Yeah, exactly. Soul Ring, like Mana Crypt, Mana Vault.
Expropriate.
Expropriate, yeah.
Really?
Which one's Expropriate?
Oh, gosh.
7 blue-blue. Everybody votes, and you either get an extra turn or one of their permanents.
Right.
It yeah. wins the game on the spot, so. Almost always.
Is that on the Commander ban list?
No.
No. Oh.
I think Commander, yeah.
It could.
It doesn't start in your command zone.
Yeah.
So you have to get it into your hand. And also, like, I don't think you can go around banning all the cards that cost 9 mana and win you the game. Like, it's just.
Yeah, it's true. It's going to be very hard. That's fair. Yawgmoth's Bargain is also banned.
That's banned in Commander, too.
Yeah. Tooth and Nail.
Right. That's not banned in Commander.
Yeah, and I think the other one, Sway of the Stars, that's not banned.
That's banned in Commander.
Is it? Yeah, it okay. Is. I guess I just never play it or have seen it play. So I'm like,
because you're not a bad person.
I mean, Tooth and Nail just lets you hoof them, right?
Yeah.
No, well, it lets you get any two creatures.
Any
so
two
you
creatures,
can,
yeah. So let's
Mikaia's Triskelion like automatically wins. There's a bunch of 2-card combos. If you were in a deck depending on colors. Although, right. Here you'd have to have... Yeah, you could do it with green-black with like a Garrick or something.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah. There's Natural Order is also banned, too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I think...
That's where you hoof them.
That's how you hoof them. Yeah. Yeah, maybe they're just trying to not get people to be hoofed.
I don't know.
Why not just ban hoof?
No, what we're seeing here is that certain instants and or sorceries are too powerful in a meta where you start with an instant and sorcery in your command zone, which totally makes sense.
And so 20 life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, this is a very new format, and the people in charge of the ban list, it's, you know, like with any format like this, there's just some people that have decided that these are the cards that should be played, and I'm sure that will develop and change. And of course, I mean, you can, within your own play group, you could just do whatever.
Yep.
As long as everyone's cool with it.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see
but
how.
But if
this...
you say I'm gonna run Tooth and Nail in my deck, is that okay? And the rest of your play group's gonna go, nah, Dave, it ain't. It's not all right.
Yeah, then Dave. Jeez.
You just have to sort of accept that.
Get a hold of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes. Just the amount of attention that it's received, I think, online and also in our inboxes and stuff shows me that it's got the similar. A similar appeal to what I think Tiny Leaders had, and maybe even better. Who knows?
Well, I hope so, because that's a.
It's the most fun part.
Do we do that? Do we throw the paper?
Yeah, it landed right back where
literally where you threw it.
Nice. Wow, mine went way over
there. Yeah, that was a good toss. That was a good toss.
Thank you. If you compare it to Tiny Leaders, that seems like a death sentence. So maybe
I know, but it's hard not to.
Tiny Leaders was like that, where like we were getting tons of emails and tweets and people
more than
like, please will you
say.
Yeah, for like a few months, but then I never saw a game of it ever actually played.
I bought a bunch of cards for a deck and then could find nobody to play with.
Yeah, but there was so much chatter about it. Evidently people are playing this format, so maybe it's just hard at this point to know how big it is, but and before you ask, if it gets really big, we'll do a game nights about it probably, but until then it's pretty tough for us to do that. It's different than like a stream where you just build a deck and play it. We're talking about like months of planning, flying people in from other places, 600 hours of editing.
And you finally get the episode out and everyone's like, oh, no one plays Oathbreaker anymore.
Yeah, exactly. That's just, yeah.
Why are you playing this dead format?
So we may consider it in the future.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go move on to our next variant. This is one that, Kathleen, you said you really enjoy.
Variant in air quotes.
Variant in air quotes. So this is, there's a little story behind this. Way back in the day when I started playing Magic, there was this format called Commander that I heard about and I had not been playing for very long. And I thought, okay, well, I can do a Commander deck. And I went down to my LGS Yellow Jacket and I was like, I want to build a Commander deck. I need some legendary creatures. They're like, flip through our binders. And I was like, great. And I found Una, Queen of the Fae, and she was blue, and she was black, and I was like, I like blue, I like black, and I believe it might have been Nelson, who was behind the counter. He's like, well, I mean, there's like, that's like a whole thing. Fairies were a tribe in Lorwyn. I was like, oh, I could build a blue-black fairy commander deck, and I bought all of these Lorwyn fairies, when they were cheap, I might add, and I still have them, and put together I think revolting is probably the best term for it.
It was really, really powerful.
It was super powerful.
Literally, you were just like, oh yeah, fairies, blue cards and black cards. I'll just sort of mix them in together. And then everyone
just ran all the blue and black cards I could find.
Holy moly,
and it was like way out of line with the power group of like our play, or like the power level of our play group. Like nobody else's commander decks were even close to that powerful, right?
Yeah, because I kept sort of him.
You whoopsied into a super weapon.
Yeah, like I was just like, how did I, it was like me blundering around with an atomic bomb, essentially.
Yeah.
And it had all these just revolting, sort of very uninteractive cards if you didn't know they were coming, and nobody knew they were coming, so we just started playing. I had like the Gaslord of the Fugue, which is unblockable, and like Thought Seizes. So I just like was like bumbling around, taking cards out of people's hands, winning games in like half an hour. And I'm like, I'm so good at Commander. And everybody's like, I hate this deck. And I'm starting to hate you. So after a while, I was like, I want to keep playing Commander with my friends, but nobody wants to play against this degenerate blue-black menace.
Right.
So I said, okay, here's the deal. Let's play Commander, but I'm not going to play my blue-black. Because let's play Commander. Groans. I won't play my blue-black deck. Excited looks. Right? But I didn't have another Commander deck. Like I had like kind of like a crappy vampire one that I was sort of working on. I brought that to game nights as like my first Commander deck because I didn't want to play the blue black one.
That was the past episode, not this.
Yes,
not
the throwback episode.
Yeah. That was the old episode of game nights, but
their first appearance.
Because I refused to bring the blue black one because it makes people angry.
Actually,
yeah.
Well, right? The only other person we know with an Una deck, I think, would be Craig, and that deck is absurdly
very
powerful.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't even know how to play it that well. If I played it now, it would be even more miserable, I think.
Yeah, it would. Do you still have it, like, put together?
Oh, yeah.
It's in a drawer, gathering power.
Do you just hear this weird humming coming from your drawer? It's like,
so what was your solution, man?
Yeah, so my solution was, I don't care. I've won plenty. Just give me a Commander deck and I'll play it.
Because at that point, everyone else in the group was like, I have like three. They're okay.
Right.
Yeah. So I was like, fine, give me one of your Commander decks. And I just started doing that. So we called it Blind Commander. I would go in and I didn't know what the cards were. Or I was like, what's your Commander? Don't tell me how it plays. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah. And it turns out, if you, like me, enjoy solving puzzles, that's very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To like, you feel like if the Commander deck is even halfway as well built, it's you sort of gradually unlock the secrets of the synergies within the deck and you feel very smart. It's very fun.
More recently on stream, we've been doing this where one of our number, Ben, is just a big brewer. He loves to brew. And so we've had situations where we're like, well, we want to do, you know, because we stream Magic every week and we switch up the formats. And we do Commander basically once a month. And we're like, all right, we want to do Commander this week. Who wants to play? Okay. And then I don't really have a deck right now. And then it ends up with like, okay, we've got one person who has their own deck. Ben, can you build three decks for the other three people, one of whom is usually Ben, right? But it's like, okay, and then he'll coordinate with people and be like, what sort of deck do you want to build? But then at one point, James was like, Ben, just build me a deck. Don't tell me what it is. Ben's like, what? Yeah, just don't tell me. Just bring a deck, whatever. I'll play it. Fine. And so he just sat down and was like, what is this? And just, you know, just learning the deck as you're playing it. Like, what we try to do these things now with, like, no fetch lands, no tutors. Like, you don't get to go looking through the deck. And this
and also then you don't have to make decisions like that.
Yeah. And so this all sort of came to a head with this big Blind Commander stream that we did with our mutual friends at Card Kingdom, where they sent Kevin from Card Kingdom up to Victoria, because Seattle's very close to Victoria, with like handcuffed to a briefcase with these four Commander decks for the Blind Commander thing. He had like a suit and like a little like Secret Service earpiece, and he came onto the stream and like put the thing down. We didn't even look at our hands. He looked at our opening hands to see that they were keepable, right? And then we started playing with these decks that we had never seen before. We didn't know what the cards were. We didn't know what what the commanders were. And it was,
you didn't even know the commanders.
No, it was a blast. Like we the first
you knew as soon as you
the first thing
down.
We did was look at the commanders once we actually started. But it was like, you know, there were a couple little notes from the people at Card Kingdom who had built the decks and that we just didn't look at either. So we just went in just like, all right,
absolutely,
let's see
blind.
What happens. And like Kathleen said, it was like trying to solve a puzzle while we were playing it. It was really interesting.
Yeah, you know, actually someone else I saw do this quite often was Gavin Verhey. at GPs and stuff, we would sit down, and occasionally I would, I think it was in Seattle at Card Kingdom, actually, we sat down and we were playing a game of Commander, and Gavin was just, oh, just give me a deck, I'll play whatever. You know, I have one deck, but I don't think it's going to match the power level of everyone else's here, so I don't want to bring it out. And he had very much, as a game designer, I think, had that same mentality, which is like, cool, what am I going to be presented with this time? What is it going to be? And no matter what it is, it's like a challenge for him as a player to see how well can I play it. And it's a challenge for him as a designer to see, like, cool, what were their thoughts behind this? And how do I, like, you know, best implement what they wanted with the deck out of it and bring that part of the deck out?
At PAX East recently, I was there with Adam from Loading Ready Run, Jeremy Noel from Star City, and we were hanging out with Stibbs.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, hey, do you want to play Commander? We're like, well, we don't have decks. And he's like, well, I have 12. He had like just a pile of Commander mm-hmm. decks on him. And we're like, oh, okay, sure, yeah, let's all use your decks. And he was like, okay, so they are, and he went to explain. I was like, no, don't tell me. And I just grabbed one.
Give me that one, yeah.
And of course, because I did that, then of course Adam was like, oh, well, if Graham's doing that, then he just grabbed one at random. And then Jeremy and Stibbs were like, well, I guess we're just picking them at random. And so I looked at the Commander. I picked a deck with the Locust God, and I was like, sweet, okay, sure. And then we just played, and it was just really cool to be like, I don't know what's in this deck. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do. I get an idea from what the commander is, but
right.
Yeah. Now the trick, of course, with this is like, you know, yeah, just get a commander deck you've never seen before. That's easy, right?
Yeah. Well, I find
you sort of have to get someone in your group to build it.
Yeah, I don't travel with decks very often. Just I don't like having to every single time I go to security, they're like, let me look at that sandwich you just brought. What is this block of thing?
There's this impenetrable cube.
Yeah, and I've had some bad luck with that stuff.
Be warned, if you're traveling, you will get stopped at security, especially if your deck has a lot of foils.
Yeah, because it just looks like a brick.
Yeah.
It's a solid mass.
Yeah, it's a solid mass. And it's always, they're like, are these Pokemon cards?
Generally speaking, I've been stopped a lot, and generally it's ranged from, okay, yeah, I think I've heard of these when I'm like, they're Magic the Gathering cards.
I remember
cards.
People it's in
ranged,
high school.
Yeah, ranged from that to, oh, dang, nice. You know, like people who know exactly what they are.
Oh, I have a good story real quick. I was at Burbank Airport just a few months ago, and I do this thing now where when I go through the airport and I have decks, I just tell the security guard, I'm like, I have some decks of cards in here, and you're probably going to want to. I'm just going to take them out now. And they're like, yeah, okay, cool. So I go through my whole thing with the security person. I'm like, okay, so I have a bunch of decks in here. They're decks of cards. The x-ray doesn't usually like them. I'm just going to put them here. Is that okay? And she looks at me and she goes, I'm a big fan of game nights.
That's I know.
She let me go through the whole thing too, by the way.
After like, she's like, but we're going to have to confiscate
yeah.
this.
Yeah. That one with all the dual lands? Yeah, we got to keep that one. She didn't say that last part.
No,
yeah.
No.
I love this idea of Blind Commander. I think where you were leading with all this, Jimmy, is that because I've done the same thing. Is like, well, I'll also just be like, I don't know. I was in Seoul like a couple years ago, and like I didn't bring my Magic cards on. Like I was just doing a traveling trip through, the Far East or whatever. And I was gonna go to an LGS, and I just went in, and they're of course like, you know, you want to play, and I'm like, okay, well, I don't have any decks, and they're like, yeah, use mine. And so I've done this many times on accident. But I think this is different because it seems like it'd be more fun if everybody's doing having that experience, right?
This is essentially like if you have a play group of people and maybe you play together fairly often and, you know, not everybody has infinite money to always be brewing new commander decks. You're just talking about dual lands and they can be expensive and stuff like that. So, you know, you sort of come up with like a gentle person's agreement that, you know, maybe you'll play somebody else's deck or something like that. And you're not going to know how it works or something like that. You'll just, everybody will do a trade and you will have the fun multiplayer experience with the, oh, well, you know, the Vidal Canori is out again, you know.
Yeah, right? He's going to do the thing that they always
shots
do.
Fired.
Yeah, shots fired. Fire more shots, it's okay.
But you know what I mean, right? Yeah. Like, if you have a play group.
All she said was Vidal Canori, and Josh is like, oh, they're talking about me. Yeah. So, I mean.
Yeah, who's really at fault here?
I bet you think this dunk is about you.
But, yeah, sometimes, like, you know, people get tired of seeing the same degenerate combos again and again. Yep. But, you know, it can be a little bit more fun if, like, everybody's like, well, I've got my B tier deck, and you can have that one. And then everybody's just like, I don't really know how this works, but, you know, you still get the multiplayer experience. You still get you get to solve a little bit of a puzzle. And,
yeah.
You know, you get a fresh dynamic to the group, which is, I think, important.
It's sort of...
Right.
I think that it helps with So we encounter this a lot, especially, and I'm sure you do as well, in the YouTube comments for whenever we do Commander, is that different people want different things out of Commander.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Some people take it very, very, very seriously, super spiky. They want to build their terrible machine and go off. And some people are, you know, they want it to be the casual format it purports to be. And this sort of makes it that. Like, you can still build a powerful deck, but if the person piloting it doesn't know what necessarily the combo is, then they're just going to be playing this deck. And so it doesn't make sense to put that sort of thing in the deck. You just sort of build a fun deck.
Right.
And so you can do it within a play group of four people. You just, you know, build the deck for the person to your left. And sure, you know what their deck can do, but whatever. And, you know, you're playing a deck that you've never seen before, and it's just like, oh, look at, we're figuring it all out. It makes it a lot more, it really lowers the stakes.
Yeah. Stakes have never been lower.
Stakes have never been lower.
I like this idea of, you know, I think if we were to do it, it would be cool to say, like, yeah, let's have four people build the decks, and there's no searching in the decks, because that kind of ruins the spirit of what this thing is. And the no searching thing all by itself will lower the power level by a huge amount, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And make it hard to build something super degenerate. Honestly, if there's no searching, I don't think it's really easy to build something that's going to be, like, overpoweringly degenerate to the rest of the table. And so just that alone will
keep... No fetches, no tutors.
You don't want to build a crazy powerful deck because you have to hand it to someone else.
Right.
But you also, you know...
You could do some, like, look at the top fours if you want. Yeah. That's probably fine.
Also, you don't want to build a real garbage deck because then they're like, well, you don't know how to build a deck, right? You know?
You could probably structure it where, like, you know, if you're the deck you built wins, you get a point. And if you win the game, you get a point or something like that. And then you can kind of, like... It's kind of like backdrafting. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Interesting. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick mid-roll break for some sponsors, and we'll be right back to talk about Canadian Highlander.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Okay, moving on. Canadian Highlander
is not Commander.
Is not Commander, not even, it's very similar in a few ways, but there is no actual Commander.
Yeah, so people often, I'm really keen to help our Highlander advocates back in Victoria to get this message out there that Highlander is not Commander, because people...
I don't even think they're even in the similar
they're
ballpark.
Not, but people think they are, because they're like, okay, 100 card singleton, so it's, you know, it's basically like Commander, right? And it's
way closer to Legacy.
Yeah, it's really not. Like, we... Among the many Magic things that we do, we have a podcast called North 100 that's all about Canadian Highlander, and they've tried their best extensively to be like, no, it's not this. It's more like a constructed cube. Like, it's very, very powerful. There's no Commander. You start at 20 life. It's a
1v1.
Tuned for 1v1 very, very specifically.
Yeah.
And
it's like Legacy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's no ban list, but there's this point system where you can have 10 points worth of cards in your deck, and only certain cards are pointed. So you can have Black Lotus.
How many points is Black Lotus?
Seven, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so.
Ancestral Recall is also at seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so if you have Ancestral Recall, then you can only have like 3 points worth of other super powerful cards. I'm assuming a lot of cards are 0 points.
The
vast majority. Mana Crypt's at three. The Moxes are at three. Sol Ring is at three.
So you could have like Ancestral, Mana Crypt, and then everything else can't even be on the points list.
It can't be on the point list, which you can find online. And I guess it's cool because you can play some of the most powerful cards in the history of Magic, but it's kept in check by the fact that you can have 10 points max. But you could also have Mana Crypt, Mox, and Sol Ring you know, instead to get up to 9 points.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much,
you have to own a Mox though.
It's a much faster
True.
Format.
Collector's edition.
Yeah, it's a much faster format. I mean, because it's
1v1.
It's 1v1. It's starting at 20 life, and just the decks can be very, very powerful. But it's, yeah. So like I wanted to talk about it just because, well, because I think it's great. Also, I don't play it myself, but I've
it's super fun.
We've streamed so much of it. I've watched so much of it played. It's real. It is, as they call it, it is powerful magic.
Yeah.
But it's I just want to, you know, I wanted to advocate for its existence as no, it's not actually Commander, basically.
But if you have a group of people you play with, and you're like, I'm interested in like this kind of play,
mm-hmm,
but maybe, right, I don't want to get into like Legacy and like do like the like tournaments and stuff like that, but I want to play with these cards, right? Like it's a cool format, right? Like, because it is, you know, so you can find a couple other people you want to go 1v1 with, and or like get them to do events at a store or something like that. I don't know, it's
funny
fun.
Watching Highlander players try to play Commander.
Oh yeah,
like Serge keeps forgetting
on
about things like color identity. So he's run like twice now. He's run Kitchen Finks.
In the deck that can't play
in like a white deck,
uh-huh,
right? And it's like, no, it's white and green. You can't, you know, you can't do that. Or, you know, once at
she's just a judge. I mean, come
yeah,
on.
But once at a convention, someone was like, "Hey, can I play Commander against you?" And we're like, "Oh, sure. What's your deck?" He's like, "Well, this is actually just a Highlander deck that I've just decided this legendary creature is the commander of." And we're like, oh, okay, and it just kicked our ass.
Yeah,
it's funny because, yeah, Ben Bateman, who does the Masters of Modern podcast, he did that. He just wanted to play Commander with us in Vegas, and he was like, oh, well, my deck's got these colors in it, you know. I'm like, oh, just this legendary creature, pick it up at a booth, it's like 25 cents, and you can run it as a Commander deck. He's like, okay, took out one card, did that, and the deck was really good, and he won the game, so.
Yeah. They're playing their own special variant where they have...
He's like lightning bolting stuff, like, because he has, those cards are good. Right. Like,
yeah,
you know,
they're
good
in 1v1. He's actually meant for 1v1, and they play a specific format where you have 6 decks that can't share any cards among them, and then
it's called Highlander Roulette.
Yeah, and then you would like play decks off against each other. So you have to build in different colors, but you also can't have obviously the same powerful card in all of them, like artifacts and all that.
Mm.
Now, what are some typical decks that are like the best, considered the best in Highlander Roulette? Like
Canadian Highlander.
Sorry.
Wow.
The meta changes fairly frequently because people are always brewing. For a long time, they had the mono black challenge. Like, can you make a mono black Highlander that can take down the weekly Highlander tournament at Yellow Jacket? And that was like a bounty that went unfilled for 2 years because mono black is like missing a lot of like key pieces. But I think
did somebody finally do it?
It probably was Wheeler, right?
Yeah.
Probably Wheeler got there.
I think Wheeler got there with something very disgusting.
Degenerate in some
way. Yeah. There was, let me see, there's the Blue Moon sort of decks. There's actually so much variety. They talk about so many different kinds of decks on the podcast.
Well, I guess with 100 card singleton, you really can span run the whole course of kinds of decks you can play.
Yeah, the sort of the pet deck is Aristocrats because we talk about it a lot.
Right.
And it's more accessible.
It's one of the easier ways to get into Highlander because Aristocrat stuff is like generally cheaper and stuff.
There's RDW variants. There's also a Big Red variant.
Oh yeah, Big Red.
Wait, what's in Big Red?
Oh, stuff like Inferno Titan.
Oh
yeah, yeah. No. It's mono red, but like
just dragons,
like
and
big and scary
and
stuff. Yeah,
sweet.
And it actually competes.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
Looks like I know what deck to build if I ever need to make a Canadian Highlander deck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this and Oathbreaker and the sort of more niche formats, I think they're one of the draws to them, and what's great about them is they're not solved.
Yeah.
So that's why more brewing is available, because you don't have millions of people online like trying to break it, you know, like Legacy and Modern and everything else. There's no tournaments for the pros to like go out there and like spend weeks in a row like as their full-time job trying to bust it. And that's actually really appealing to people like me and probably you guys who are like, I could probably come up with some cool synergies, but I probably can't break it to the point that a computer could.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that means that I have a chance to like come up with something no one's ever come up with before.
My favorite deck is that there's a deck called, I can't describe how it works. It's called Seinfeld because it's
Seinfeld?
Because it's a deck that does nothing. And it's been quite successful.
See, you're going to build it, right? I'm building that deck.
Yeah. I mean, there's players who have like played the same deck. Like there's a local player, and she's played the Rock, just like black green, for like 12 years.
Wow.
And just kept iterating on this one deck.
I would imagine that a lot of the decks are sort of Legacy decks also.
Inspired,
like,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, is there a Miracles deck? Is there a
Legacy Plus?
There could be. Yeah,
I think the Rock is a Legacy
Yeah,
deck,
there's. But... I mean, there's like a there's a Time Walk deck. There's so, but an example. There's a Flying Men deck.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
That just it like the one mana one because Flying Men is a
one single
blue
flyer.
For a 1/1 flyer, yeah. Uh-huh. Right? And so there's a deck that's just like all the iterations of Flying Men. I think it's blue white. And so it's like any 1/1 flyer for one. And it's like, that doesn't seem like a good deck. And it's like, well, actually,
when you have 20 surprisingly life, you're just effective. Getting smacked, yeah.
Yeah, well, because in Highlander, you get in the situation where it's like, okay, so like Demonic Tutor, I believe, is pointed. But, you know, you run like, because it's 100 cards and it's singleton, there's no sideboards. You know, you run the good tutors and then you run the okay tutors and then you run the medium tutors and you... Uh-huh. May even run one or two okay tutors, like one of the North.
So it's not. It can be slow then.
Yeah, one of the North 100 guys has a tier list of like all the different counterspells. So there's like a dozen tier one counterspells and then
right.
tier two counterspells and tier. And, you know, you'll run like several levels of if you're running a deck with counters, you run several levels of counterspells.
Wow.
Because you just want
that deck's really bad against the Flying Men deck.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is. It really is.
What's the most played like. Point card, do you think? Is it the Black Lotus or is it Sol Ring?
Ancestral.
Is it Ancestral Recall?
Oh, it's probably a colorless card.
It's probably just the Moxes because Fast Mana is a big deal.
Yeah.
Is it Mana Crypt
or Sol Ring, maybe?
Might just be Sol Ring.
Probably.
Like, it's just efficient.
I mean, yeah, because Sol Ring is only 3, Moxes are only 3.
I mean, in like rotisserie drafts where they draft from the whole history of Magic, Sol Ring usually goes number 1 or 2.
Yeah.
So.
Like, it, yeah. The fun thing about Highlander is that like if the meta is weird, like, or if you're like, oh, I don't really know about this, you can just wait like a couple weeks and somebody else will bring some sort of weird deck and see how that works. Alex has been having pretty good success with his Pox deck lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surge has a gross lands deck.
Surge is
like Legacy Lands.
Yeah. Surge has been playing variants on his lands deck for like as long as I've known him.
Do these tournaments at Yellow Jacket allow proxies for like the Power 9 and stuff?
Yeah, how does that work?
So they don't. Well, so they've at a because you can sanction them now because you can sanction any format.
Yeah, yeah.
If you
so
want,
sanctioned ones
so
can't.
Sanctioned ones you can't, but
right.
they because it's a local thing they don't. The weekly competitions at YJ and when we stream it are not sanctioned. So the Highlander Rules Committee decided that, or the Highlander Council decided that they will allow Collector's Edition and the World Championships.
One.
So the gold bordered cards.
And
so
the Collector's Editions have square corners.
Yeah, or the international ones
really
have square corners.
Yes.
So they weren't. They didn't used to be. They didn't used to be, right? Like Collector's Edition Power 9 didn't used to be that expensive. Like you could get like a Mox for like $80-$90 like 5 years ago.
Not anymore.
And now. Even the collector's edition ones are unreal. And I mean, Highlander's been gaining a lot of ground, which is super fun, but it's also been pushing up the collector's edition prices, which were originally decided because it's like, boy, we gotta make this format more attainable. But now,
But so, if you're just playing with your friends.
Oh, yeah, proxies are fine. There's another friend of ours in Victoria who has like a sort of, so you want to try Highlander, like collection of decks that are almost entirely proxies because it's like, hey, let me just give you a taste of this format.
Instead of having to invest, I mean, that's what we do for commander decks to goldfish them. It's like, I don't have this card yet, but I need to see if it works.
I just Sharpie on like a mountain, put it in there, and then it's just like, because I don't want to buy it and then find out.
Why a mountain?
Just an example.
Man, disrespect up in here. One more thing that I really wanted to talk about are mulligan variants. And I know it's not a commander variant, but it's something that we've hit the critical mass of different kinds of mulligans that are now potentially going to be moving into commander or even standard and modern as a whole. And we started off with the partial Paris in commander. That obviously got changed because it just led people...
It was a little confusing.
Yeah.
To new players especially.
And for better players, you could assemble combos and keep some really sketchy
hands. I couldn't
even
tell you how it works.
Yeah, you could put less lands in your deck. So you drew 7 cards and you're like, I don't want 5 of these. You put those 5 away and draw 5 more and then shuffle your deck.
Mm-hmm.
Or you draw 7 cards, I only want 1 of these. Throw 6 away, draw 6 new cards.
Oof.
So you could keep really sketchy hands, and you could have less lands in your deck because you would know that, like, oh, cool. Like, if even
you
if
could still you could still mulligan after you drew the additional cards. You'd yeah. be like, oh, no, I'm just going to reshuffle and now take a regular mulligan. Too. Yeah. It was broken.
Wow.
And now we have the Vancouver mulligan where you mold a seven, or you start at seven, you mold a six, and you scry one, mold a five, scry one. And then the London Mulligan is something that was implemented at the Mythic Championships.
Tested
at in London, and because it's called the London Mulligan, where if you mull every single time you mulligan, you go, you always still draw seven cards. But if it's your first mulligan, you draw seven and then you put one away. If you mulligan to five, you still draw seven and then you put two away.
Now when you put
if
them
put
away,
away, you put them on the bottom.
On the bottom. Yeah. Okay, I was wondering.
So it's kind of like the scry. I for a while I was like, I want if you mull to five, I want you to draw five cards and scry two. I think this is actually better, and this may or may not, depending on whether it makes into Magic's actual rules, make its way to Commander.
It didn't seem to break Modern at the Mythic
Championship. I mean, all the pros were basically saying that they thought it was just better. It led to less non-games, but it didn't break anything.
It didn't break anything, something, yeah.
You know.
I know a lot of people were concerned. They're like, oh, it's so bad for, like, it's so good for combo decks, right? They can get all their pieces and stuff like that. But...
And no combo decks really got...
No. Eh.
Control decks, I think, were actually made a little bit better. And then you were saying yesterday, Graham, that some of your friends play 7-6-6-5-5-4-4.
Yeah, that's the Sorensen Mulligan, and that is the Mulligan for Canadian Highlander.
Uh-huh.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, so it's because it's, you know, no sideboards, this 100 card singleton sort of thing, it just going 7-6-5-4 just it was bad. It just felt bad. And so they do 7, and then if you have to mulligan, you do a first 6, and if you want to mulligan again, you do a second 6, and then 5 and 5 and 4 and 4.
Do you still scry with those?
I believe not.
Yeah.
No, with the current six. Mulligan, yeah. And I believe they are looking to change it. I mean, I guess we might be looking at the London Mulligan, but I believe they've been looking to change it to the Vancouver Mulligan, but you know, it's been this way with Victoria Highlander for many years, and it lets you fewer non-games without making it totally unreasonable, although apparently Wheeler has figured out some ways to abuse that particular mulligan system.
Well, Ben Wheeler, abusing Magic.
Yeah.
How dare
no.
he?
No.
I mean, I like, because the mulligan rule that I still use the most often or advocate for is, just play Magic. Just, like, do whatever. If you want to mold full, like, I do this at GPs all the time. Like, people are like, they'll wait to play with us. I'm sure you get the same thing, where they're, like, literally sitting there waiting for, like, 2 hours sometimes for me to finish a game or two. You know, they're waiting two people's deep. They sit down and then they're like,
I got them all
to
five.
I'm going to go to five. Just go to seven.
Please, let's have a game of Magic.
In your heart, don't keep anything that's absurd because you did this and keep mulligan to seven.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Don't search for a combo, but let's just play Magic, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I still think that's the best mulligan most of the time. Now, obviously in tournament settings where there are prizes on the line and things that, you can't have that kind of thing
going
on.
And spikier players will abuse things like that just because they, you're giving me free value. But I'd say for the most part, Commander, casual, fun.
And you'll know the people in your playgroup that are abusing it, and you can stop allowing them to do that.
Yeah.
But most people are just like trying to get three lands so that they can, like, you know, cast spells.
Yeah.
So
play games.
If Magic does decide to adopt the London Mulligan, I mean, first of all, I'll be disappointed because I, you know, being from Victoria, I like saying Vancouver Mulligan because it's so close to where we are. But if Magic does decide to adopt the London Mulligan, does that mean that immediately, so does Commander, or
no? Commander has a separate rules.
Well, I know.
I think they would have to wait, and then it would be up to, I guess, Sheldon and whoever else to say, like, yes, we are implementing it, because that's it took them a little bit for the Vancouver Mulligan. Right?
It definitely wouldn't be immediate. There'll be discussion and decision. But my feeling is, and
I'm sure they're already talking.
I'm on the Commander Advisory Group, but
this is
just me, because there's no decision made by that group, and there's no consensus at the moment, and. As we discussed it, we kind of just tabled the discussion to see what Magic would do, because it doesn't make any sense to have a big debate about it and then it doesn't get adopted by the other formats. But my feeling is, and what I would suggest to the committee or to the Rules Committee, is if Modern, Standard, and Limited go to the London Mulligan, we should too, because it's just better to have it be cohesive.
Be consistent,
through, like,
especially
as
for new
fewer
players.
Differences as you can. Obviously, there's always going to be some. But
that's a big part of why they're looking at changing the Canadian Highlander Mulligan as well, because it's like, wait, we do this weird thing. Maybe we shouldn't be doing this weird thing.
Yeah,
well, it's just a barrier to entry, right? Where it's there's already some extra specific rules, and it also plays slightly differently than literally every other format. It's not a good selling point for anything.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, a certain amount of differences are selling point, but then if there are ones that aren't necessary, it just becomes
just overcomplicated.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think it would be good in Commander?
I don't think it'll make much difference to people at all. I don't think it'll change. Like, we're talking in the very margins of percentages of how much better it makes certain decks or not. I don't think it matters.
I think it makes for a better play experience, though, overall, instead of having a feel bad six.
I think I'd enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, this is a great time to transition to our final thing here, which is just any final thoughts. I know earlier we said the line, different people want different things from Commander.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a nice opportunity for everyone at the table to talk about if you have any thoughts on the format as a whole. Now, Josh obviously thinks about this a lot more because he's on the advisory committee.
Said my stuff. You guys should go because we talk about it once a week.
But if there's anything that you guys think that, like, you know what, this would be cool if this happened, or like, I'm glad that this has changed, anything that you want to improve, or just get a word out to the general Commander populace, here is one of many opportunities you have, since you both are constant content creators and, of course, have this opportunity.
No, this is it. You're talking to every Commander player right now. Go.
I like that better.
I like it. It's fun. I think that I just wish everyone accepted that different people want different things from Commander. Like, you can play it however you want. That's totally cool. Let me play it how I want. That's the only thing. The only bad feels I ever have about Commander is in the comments for when we do stuff, when it's like, man, you guys' threat assessment is terrible. And it's like, you don't know what we're doing this to be entertaining.
Yeah, and to have fun for ourselves.
Like, we're having fun, right? If I don't think I need to kill Surge right now in this game, that's not because I'm a terrible person. That's because I'm trying to get something different out of this game.
Right.
Conversely, sometimes we get criticized for playing the game of Magic. It's like, why are you attacking? Why are you attacking him? Because I have to attack somebody.
The point of the game is to win.
People got real mad at James once because he attacked Surge, because Surge is a precious cinnamon roll who everyone loves, and also had an absolutely commanding board position that could not be disputed, that Surge was going to kill everyone very, very soon. And James was like, I'm attacking Surge. And people were like, why are you attacking Surge? What's Surge ever done to you? And it's like, look at, you tell us we have bad threat assessment. Look at this.
Yeah, it's all there. It's on the board.
I find that people... I've had this conversation a lot on our Discord lately, where people are like, you know, well, the optimal line was to blah, 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 and attack this person, and you shouldn't have spread the damage around or whatever. And I'm like, listen, you are all the same people that email us constantly saying, my playgroup, every time I sit down to play now, they just all attack me and kill me first out of every game. Yeah. What's my line? You got to give action to get action. If you don't sometimes play suboptimally, well, you're never going to get any mercy from anybody. So don't complain. That's all I'm saying.
I think it's important to realize that Commander as a multiplayer format is not just like about win as quickly as possible. There is some politics that goes into it, and there's also the attitude of the playgroup. And I think people need to recognize, it's like, what does your playgroup want to get out of this? They want to have like a casual fun night where they're hanging out with their friends, and maybe they're like, you know, drinking a beer, like, you know, we're just like pop or whatever like that, but just like, you know, chatting, but also playing and playing Magic. Then, you know, maybe don't play like a degenerate Spike trying to make day two of the Pro Tour, right? Or I'm sorry, the Mythic Championships.
Right.
But, you know, if there's a bunch of people who's like, I have made the Omega weapon and I wish to test it upon a willing body, then,
it is,
you know,
Una, Queen of the Fae.
Yeah. Do you know this card just lets me thought seize you? Isn't that great? And by the way, it's unblockable, so I'm going to look at your hand now.
Right? I completely agree. I think a lot of my favorite times playing Commander, and you'll see this on game nights, I'll just willingly sacrifice myself or do something dumb for the sake of entertainment and having a better story at the end of it. Because I think when I was younger growing up, I would go to stuff like this and be like, I'm coming today because I want to win, and winning is the only thing that makes me happy, or it makes me feel satisfied with whatever. And that's actually a lot of pressure to put on yourself as a player and a gamer. And I play League of Legends all the time, and I play a lot of competitive games. That if I start doing that, I tilt way faster. I start having an immediately worse time as a result of putting that pressure on myself. So I just figure I'm too old at this point in my life to continue to have that sort of like up and down turmoil every single time I play a game. So what I want out of Commander is different than everyone else. I think what people want out of game nights is also very different. Some people just want the spikiest Commander gameplay with optimal plays all the time.
It's never
going to
be that.
It's never going to be that. And I'm glad, because there are so many parents and children and young people that watch the show and are so happy just to see other people having fun. And that is what makes me happy, because as a content creator, I'm not here to make everyone the greatest Commander player of all time. I just want the world to be a slightly better place.
Yeah.
Through mm-hmm. our actions.
Same. That's what we feel too. I just want people to have fun. And granted, for some people, winning is the most fun thing for them. And so I don't want to just be
right.
like,
there's nothing wrong with that.
I don't want to be just dunking on spikes. But yeah, just let people have fun. Yeah.
One last thing.
Let people enjoy things.
For me, you can scratch both itches sometimes, like you have both, right?
So yeah.
What we've started to do at the end of our Commander Nights, because we have some higher power level players in the group. Kyle Hill, we've talked about. Cassius mm-hmm. likes to play super DJ. Powerful decks. DJ has. But what we've started to do is like play a normal Commander game, and at the end of the night, the last game we play, and because these tend to be faster, it kind of works like how we were talking about Oathbreaker earlier, is we'll say, okay, last game of the night, everybody pull out your A-plus deck, and let's go at it. And so we get both, right? We get mm-hmm. that game where, like, if you're the Super Spike and you built the Omega weapon, you're going to get to play it at least once tonight. But not all of our games are going to be that. A lot of them are the fun games where I'm not going to take the optimal line of play and I'm going to spread the damage around. But the last game of the night is I will try and combo out on turn 4.
I love the idea that it's like, all right, everyone, take the weights off.
Yeah.
I like the weight training.
Like Rock Lee. Shunin exams.
I've been training at 10 times Earth's gravity.
I want to dirtle around when I play Commander and be like, okay, this is not efficient, but look how cool this is.
Yeah.
Look how many things I got to do in a single turn.
That's why I like playing with Craig Blanchett, is because he has very powerful decks, but if it messes up, he just has this great laugh and he just like, that was awesome, and he'll high five you.
I don't care.
That's the spirit of the game for me.
Yeah. I don't care if I win or lose a game of Commander. I just want, all I want is for my deck to have done its thing.
The thing, yeah.
Yeah. If my deck can do its thing and I immediately lose, it's like, cool. Great, I did the thing. That's all I wanted to do. Oh, are we getting ready to throw the piece of paper? All
right. Yeah. To the listeners, are any of you out there playing Oathbreaker, like actually sitting down and playing games? We want to get some data because, you know, we're trying to gauge if it's actually like tiny leaders. It's hard to tell sometimes if it's just talk or it's actually happening. So also, if you could tell me what particular commanders and signature spells are good.
Yeah, the most busted ones, because Josh only cares about winning.
Yeah, because, well, you know, I want to build
based
the Omega
on this
weapon.
Episode. Is there Una, Queen of the Fae, in Planeswalker format? Let me know. Thoughts on the format.
Ashiok.
You put Una in that deck.
There's the new Ashiok. These are only 60-card decks.
Yeah,
you can put the new Jace in it and mill yourself.
I should tune up that
Una
deck.
Lab Man Jace,
for Oathbreaker. And then never be invited back to another Oathbreaker game.
I guarantee
night.
That deck's really good, actually. You do the like Blue Sun Zenith to yourself out with like Basal Monolith, Rings of Bright Hearth combo. And done. I guarantee that deck is really good.
There we go.
Degenerate. So let us know. And let us know if it's feasible even for someone like you to play Oathbreaker, if you think it's something that you'll do to transition into something else, or it's something that you can take your current decks to do so. And if you are playing Oathbreaker, you're going to need to get some cards for it, or any other format that we mentioned today. And you can get them all at cardkingdom.com/commandzone.
A kingdom of cards.
Kingdom of cards. Yeah, it's kind of weird going in there, and it's all made of cards, and everyone is like, oi, oi, in front of this giant...
Everyone's what?
I'm lying. I was making up a... He said kingdom of cards. I went with the bit, and it didn't end up where I wanted it to. But you can end up where you need to be by going to cardkingdom.com/commandzone, buying singles. You're going to do it anyway. They got super fast shipping. You're going to get it before Oathbreaker is dead as a format. I'm just saying.
Also, if you like pick up like a collector's edition something or other for your Canadian Highlander deck, those cards are expensive now, so you need to put them into a sleeve. And I will
that's a good point.
I would suggest an Ultra Pro Eclipse sleeve, because they have a sweet shuffle feel. They'll also protect your cards really well. They also make playmats, deck boxes themed around the most current set. And again, by supporting our sponsors, you are supporting our content.
And I'm just going to jump in, because this is the Command Zone, and you should absolutely use the Card Kingdom Command Zone with
affiliate link,
which is cardkingdom.com/commandzone.
Command Zone.
But you can also tell them you can ask them very nicely for a loading ready run button.
Oh yeah.
They'll give you a little 1-inch button, which right now says the stakes have never been lower.
Yeah, if you just
very
type
fitting
in
for
the,
this episode.
Yeah. In the comments.
In the comments, you just say
loading ready run button, please.
Yep.
Yeah, or they sent me here, and it's good. Card Kingdom, they're not robots, they're human employees. They'll know that, you know, they came from this podcast where we had these people on. Yeah. So that'd be good for them to know as well.
I mean, people this is the thing. We're friends with Prof, we're friends with
Megan and Maria.
Yeah, we're friends with like all of the people that Card Kingdom sponsors, and so we get messages all the time, and they're like, what links, what affiliate link should we use? And we always say, we don't care.
Yeah.
Use anybody's.
Just use somebody's.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But if you want, in the comment, you can say, also, I like all of these people. And that, because again, they are humans, and they'll read that and go, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's great.
You know?
Yeah.
Yep, good command message.
Zone. Command zone.
Command zone.
All right. Before the end step, we are going to now go to our audition winner call out. So if you're a patron of the show and you submitted an audition to be a guest on Game Nights, ooh, like Jacob was a couple episodes
this
ago.
This is exciting.
Yeah.
This is where you need to pay attention, because we are going to be... Well, I think we're just going to run a couple of clips of the winning auditions here. And if you see your face...
You did it.
That's you.
And a big shout out to everyone that auditioned. I watched like a bunch, and Josh watched a bunch.
There were hundreds.
Yeah, and it was awesome. It was great seeing where everyone from all around the world and all that stuff. It was really heartwarming to see all that.
I want to say it was harder this time than so it was last
hard.
Time. There
Holy
was a lot
moly.
Of really good ones. We like had a list, narrowed it down. It was still big. We debated a little bit, and
So I hope that even if you don't make it in this time, that you will continue to audition in the future. But also, hopefully, you learn something from the audition process and can apply it to job interviews,
yep,
other parts of your life. Who knows what? But I hope it was a constructive thing for everyone.
All right. They're on the edge of their seats. Let's put them out of their misery here. If you see your face here, it's you.
We'll be in contact.
All right. So the first... Oh, sorry. I buried the lead a little bit. We decided, because it was hard to choose...
Oh, gosh. The misery has not
been... Yeah, sorry. There's going to be two.
What?
Yeah. We probably should have.
There are going to be two winners. Big
announcement.
There are
going to be two winners. It was hard. We just couldn't narrow it down past that, and we didn't want to leave. Yeah. Listen, there's going to be two of you. So the first one is...
You have to pilot the same deck with partner commanders.
That's not true.
Okay.
That's not true.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
The first one is...
Hi, I'm Amelia Wales, preferring to go by Millie, and I want to come and play my Yuriko the Tiger's Shadow deck on Game Nights. Why? Well, ninjas are really awesome. However, I also want to play this deck because it has a clear strategy fully centered on Yuriko's abilities. Thanks for your consideration. I'm a big fan of the show, and I'm looking forward to hearing who gets the spot. Thanks.
And the second winner is...
Hey guys, my name is Matthew Osborne. Patron ID is the same thing. I'm 24 years old, and I'm from Springfield, Tennessee. And can I say, wow, it is absolutely amazing to be back here once again, being able to audition for Game Nights, one of my favorite YouTube channels. It's awesome. I'm so excited to be here.
All right.
Congratulations.
Awesome. Yay.
Everyone loves you.
You're going to be knighted very soon on Game Nights. We will be getting in contact with you so very soon to figure out schedules and all the rest of it.
Yep, but feel free to get on social media, announce it, do whatever you need to.
Oh, also, if you submitted an audition and you did not win, don't worry. Probably going to do it again in the future.
Yeah.
Good chance, I'd say. So you'll have another shot at it.
All right.
Okay.
Moving on to the end step, where we talk about something cool outside the world of Magic. Now, we didn't tell you guys that we were doing this.
We did not prepare you for it, so we're going to speak for a minute while you think of something cool outside of the world of Magic.
Could be anything.
Go ahead.
Could be a board game. Could be a movie.
TV show.
Could be a shoe.
An article you read.
Could be a TV.
Could be music that you like.
A TV, literally
Josh
a TV.
Josh just looked at me, and he's like, I already know what you're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what Kathleen's going to talk about. I have to figure out what interests I have.
All right, so...
You guys could share one, too.
You can share one, yeah.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Look, we're already married, and we have to share so many things. We can have our own interests.
Very true.
All right, so something cool outside of the world of Magic. Kathleen, do you want to go first?
Absolutely. Hey, let's talk about music. Music's kind of my hobby. So, like, I do... The thing... I'm actually going to be somewhat self-promotional, which
Please.
Is something I basically never do. I decided... that I love music and it brings me a lot of joy. And music is something that people don't consume as a group enough. Sort of there's a lot of sociological, sort of psychological research that suggests that part of the reason humans are so creative and we develop language and we're so cool is because we developed music early on as like, you know, monkeys running around in caves. We figured out how to like play drums and make rhythms and stuff. And that has really influenced all of human development. But I think that people listen to music on their own a lot now. They listen in headphones. There's less shared music experience.
Right.
So I decided that I would solve one of humanity's problems by solving one of my own problems. And I started listening to new music. And I made myself a challenge that I would listen to new music in 2019 and put together a playlist of songs of all new music, all 2019 music that I love, because I truly love music of all genres. And I would broadcast it on Twitch. So I do like a Twitch stream once a week under my own Twitch channel, because it is not something we can put on the Loading Ready Run channel, although I would if I could, but I don't want our channel shut down.
It's muted.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no and VODs for this one.
No VODs for this one.
No VODs. It's only
for publishing and sync rights issues.
No VODs, only memories.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv, Kathleen_LRR, and amazing. I broadcast once a week, and I do a new music show.
Do you know when you normally do it, or is it?
9:30 p.m. on Saturday night.
Pacific time.
Pacific time.
Standard time. PST.
You can listen to me wax poetic, mostly about King Gizzard, but other bands too.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're in the midst of this, what is your current favorite band?
My current favorite band is King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, because I think they're great. But the best album...
Name.
They're it's an incredible. Australian psychedelic rock band, but the best album that's come out this year is when I I'm gonna fumble it because I'm nervous now. It's the new Solange album. It's really good. It's like R&B.
Yeah, it's like
R&B Dark Side of the Moon. Even if you don't think you like R&B, go listen to this. It's great.
What an amazing description.
Yeah.
Also, those two things are so different.
Yeah.
King Gizzard and the Wizard Lizard. Lizard Wizard?
Lizard Wizard.
And Solange are not.
Do you know how many people tagged her on Twitter when Frilled Mystic was spoiled?
Because
it's a Lizard Wizard.
Lizard Wizard. One of my fondest memories is driving with you guys back from the Vancouver GP and listening to Tame Impala, which is also a psychedelic rock group and one of your favorites and one of my favorites.
And now very popular.
Well, it's super funny. Popular.
I've been listening to King Gizzard for like the last 3 days now because she got me to turn it on in the car when I picked him up. And I just left it on the station, the streaming station.
Is it King Gizzard station? Nice.
They slap. Yeah. It's good. It's good
stuff. Check it out. I mean, I'm assuming if you like Tame Impala, you'll like King Gizzard and the Wizard Lizard.
Yes.
Lizard Wizard.
I always say Wizard first too, but it's
you can just call them King Giz and everybody will know what you're talking about.
King G in the house. Let's go.
There's like seven of them. They have two drummers, Jimmy.
Oh. I'm super in. I love bands that have two drummers. I'm not even kidding. You can get a lot of percussive noise out of that. So make sure you guys follow Kathleen at twitch.tv/Kathleen_LRR. 9:30 p.m. PST.
Yeah. Every Saturday night.
All right, Graham, you're up.
Man, I don't know. I've been rewatching Deep Space Nine on Netflix.
Oh, DS9, amazing. Yeah.
I'm into season 7. It's all coming to a head now.
How many seasons are there? That's
7.
Near the
seven
end.
Yeah. No, all the arcs are converging.
Oh, you should have talked to Lauren, who shoots game nights for us. She's one of the biggest Star Trek fans I know.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan. But yeah, I don't know. I'm so deep into the
space.
I'm. I'm currently working so hard, Space Nine, on this project that this massive road trip project that we shot almost a year ago now, and it's so close to getting there and being done that I don't know what other interests I have right now. I've just been editing for so long, but it's gonna be good. I'm so excited about it.
It's called Road Quest. Haven't been following along with it, is a monster project.
Yeah,
we went on a
basically like a full on reality TV show.
Yeah, we went on a 10-day road trip to spoilers, and there's three cars with two people in each car. We had three cameras per car. We had the car in the production truck. We have so much footage to get down to. We're gonna end up with 12. Roughly 45-minute episodes.
Cool.
And yeah, it's basically like an enormous like Top Gear road trip, but with six nice Canadian guys instead of three like
British wankers,
vaguely racist British guys.
Well, yeah, I'm really excited for Road Quest to come out because I know the amount of work that it's going to take. So,
we've been having commiseratory.
Nice.
Editing
conversations. Yeah, we talk shop a lot. Well, both Kathleen and Graham are editors, so
yeah,
we get to commiserate a lot.
So yeah, apart from that, I've just been like watching whatever shows up in my YouTube recommendations.
Nice.
Just to turn the brain off for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of Hot Ones.
Oh yeah. Oh, great. I like Hot Ones a lot.
I don't like spicy food at all. I'm just like, I would die on this show.
Yeah.
Luckily, it's now so popular that I would never be on that show.
We did a Hot Ones podcast once. Well, we won't go into that. You can look it up.
About that again.
Okay. Where are we on our thing?
Our sister podcast.
Our sister podcast. Alex Kessler and Ben Bateman, who we talked about earlier, they do a modern-focused podcast called The Masters of Modern, and they talk about, obviously, the modern format and all things competitive magic. Modern Horizons is on the horizon. Ooh, yeah. So they've got a lot to say these days. If you just type Masters of Modern into your YouTube search bar, they're going to pop right up. You can find them on iTunes, Stitcher, all the normal places, and at collected.company right next to us. You can also find them on Twitter at the MMcast.
Our editors for the show are Ashlyn Rose, Josh Murphy, Murph, and Jared Lafreniere. And special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer, as always, for making the living card animations. Now we get to look at them the entire episode. So
yeah.
It's actually like, thank you for sitting us here, because I don't get to stare at that. Usually it's behind us.
Yeah,
it's
usually really behind us.
So, yeah.
Very nice. You can find him on Twitter at livingcardsmtg. He also does the animations that start and end the show. And speaking of the end of the show, the alarm went off,
and that is the
perfect
end of the show.
Perfect timing.
It's like we planned it.
Wow. Wait,
that was actually very creepy, the timing of that.
Yeah.
So one more paper toss for the fans and the fams.
I didn't do it in unison, sorry.
I hit myself in the head.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Before you go, they're going to Disneyland, just so you know. Do you want to give a quick shout out of where everybody can find you in general? Obviously, we know where Kathleen's music thing is, but Loading Right Around and everything.
Yeah.
In case they don't know, which you should.
Loading, I mean, on Twitter, on YouTube, on Twitch, we are Loading Ready Run, all one word. And we do a lot of magic content. We do a lot of content that's not magic as well, but we do Friday nights for Wizards of the Coast. We do the pre-releases. We've got pre-releases coming up for Modern Horizons and then the core set a month later. We've got three, right?
Wow.
We just did War of the Spark, and then a month Modern Horizons, and then a month its core set. We were
also on the official D&D channel, where we just wrapped up a campaign called By Law and Order that I actually wrote and ran, and I really like it, but I'm quite partial to it.
It was set in Ravnica.
It was set in Ravnica, so it's magic themed.
Check out the recordings for that, which are on our YouTube.
And your Twitters.
Yeah, I'm Graham_LRR, and Kathleen is
Kathleen_LRR.
Definitely follow these two if you're not already, which you probably are.
And the other LLR people, we got all of them. We mentioned a lot. Actually, I think we mentioned all of them on the show today, pretty much.
We didn't mention Cameron.
There's so many of them. No, I mean, I mentioned
Cam because he runs the
Oathbreaker thing,
right.
But
the Seinfeld deck, right?
No, he tends to play Aristocrats.
Oh,
but anyway, yeah. There's so many good people. Come check out Loading Ready Run.
Do it. They're an amazing crew of people.
Thank you.
We've both been up for the pre-release. Amazing, amazing experience. And one of the, I think, best things that Magic's done in a long time in terms of help getting some hype out there, which is great.
I'm really proud of it.
Yeah.
I'm partial to it, but I'm very biased.
Yeah, you should watch the War of the Spark pre-release if you haven't.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That set is spicy.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project
in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.